I'm trying my very best to do my very best, and I'm glad you're joining me today on this Tuesday.
And now, here's Bill Benica!
Tuesday. Nobody's ever done a song about Tuesday. Well, I don't know why either. I can't understand it. Well, we have things to talk about today. We got quite a few things that we're going to get to, and there's a lot of intriguing news. And we also have our Calcos News Update coming up. And then the other thing that's fascinating that we're going to talk about on Calcos News Update is the fact that there's a new police chief in Atascadero. Which wouldn't be a big, huge thing, but the question immediately comes to mind is, does he have the same contract as Jim Mulhall?
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
No one chooses to be sick or injured, but you can choose where to get help. Take MR imaging, for example. San Luis Diagnostic Center now offers their brand new 3 Tesla Ultra High Field Open MRI, the only system of its kind in California, and one of 3 in the United States. If you're claustrophobic, it's not a problem. With their new Siemens Skyra scanner, it has the largest opening available. Plus, it has the best quality images and shortest scan time. That's right. Shortest scan time, largest capacity opening, and image quality unequaled by any other scanner. San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art technology. So when you need an MRI, take control of your healthcare. Ask your doctor to send you to San Luis Diagnostic Center for their ultra-high-field, state-of-the-art open magnet. The choice is yours. Call 542-9700. All major insurances accepted.
This machine is a cat's pajamas, by the way, also. Now, can I say this? Dr. Fred Vernacchia from San Luis Diagnostic, I invited him in here, of course, to talk about the breast cancer awareness and other stuff. And he's a little under the weather, so we're not sure when that's going to happen or if it's going to happen this month. But we'll get together and talk. Because he's a fascinating man, and I was like, talk to him. Right now, I'm talking to Sheep with Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS, your news station, San Luis Obispo. We're going to talk about what's going to happen on this day in history, according to the Tribune. Our flashback, our highlight in history, on October 18th in 1961, the movie musical West Side Story, starring Natalie Wood and Richard Boehmer, premiered in New York, which was the film setting. And then my stepbrother saw it 20 times. On this date in 1867, the United States took formal possession of Alaska from Russia. In 1931, inventor Thomas Alva Edison died at the age of 84. 10 years ago, CBS News announced that an employee in anchorman Dan Rather's office had tested positive for skin anthrax. Our birthdays today, rock and roll performer Chuck Berry is 85, sportscaster Keith Jackson is 83, actor Jean-Claude Van Damme is 51, actor Zac Efron from Rio Grande is 24. Let's say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
You know, Dad, I just keep thinking about how little rainfall we've gotten this season, and I know we're right on the edge of drought conditions.
You're right, Kelly. That's why at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we emphasize the importance of water conservation by featuring environmentally friendly products.
The store has an unbelievable selection of showerheads that offer everything from needle jet sprays to soft, soothing raindrops. And let me guess, the shower heads can reduce water usage.
You got it.
So that's why we're letting people know that the store is the low-flow toilet specialist in Slo County.
Yep, our low-flow toilets can save folks 25% on their water bill. But that's just part of the story, Kelly.
Are you going to tell them the other part of the story about when you got stuck under the kitchen sink trying to install a low-flow faucet?
Kelly.
Dad.
Kelly.
Dad.
For the finest selection of environmentally friendly premium kitchen and bath fixtures, shop at Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's, San Luis Obispo.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Bill Benica doing the reporting right here, right now. All right, here's what's going on. Atascadero appoints new police chief. The city of Atascadero announced the appointment of a new police chief, Gerald Haley, currently a lieutenant with the Santa Maria Police Department, is slated to start his new post in mid-November. Former Atascadero Police Chief James Mulhall resigned suddenly in January, and Commander Steve Gessel had been serving in top cop position during that interim. Gerald is the right person to lead the police department at this time, said Atascadero City Manager Wade McKinney. Gerald is clearly a proven leader at the Santa Maria Police Department with an impeccable reputation. As opposed to a peccable reputation, I suppose, is what the other option is. And then this was kind of interesting. I got a kick out of this. Someone wrote a comment to this, because you can comment on Calcos News on the stories. And so someone said, the first order of business is arrest Wade Warren and the city council. And 13 out of 13 people like that comment. How things are going in Atascadero today. A little rough right there. All right, here's one of those ideas. It's not going to really work. I guess something has to work. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Plans for a California attempt to tax millionaires has gotten a boost from the Occupy Wall Street movement. The California Federation of Teachers and a coalition of allies want to place a measure on the November 2012 ballot to hike taxes to people with annual incomes of more than $1 million. Protests which have spread across the world during the past month have been encouraging, said Josh Patchthalt, president of the 100,000-member teachers union. With the Occupy Wall Street actions, the American public is being educated on the disparity that has gotten so profound. The crisis has gotten so bad. He said that the San Jose said, we're committed to this and we want to convince others it's much needed and the right time to do it. John Kupoff, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association, said he isn't worried about such a measure's eventual success. He called the Occupy Wall Street protesters a bunch of trust fund babies who need a reason to protest and accused labor unions of fueling those protests. The poll, as we see it, there's no appetite for additional taxes of any kind, he said. Labor groups aren't going to ask me for my permission. They can do what they want, but they've got an uphill fight. The trend is toward fiscal conservatism. Now, and this is interesting, too, because, you know, our state taxes aren't huge, luckily. I mean, luckily, we're lucky that they're where they're at, considering the state's, you know, is tanking. You know. So, but to add a few bucks for millionaires doesn't really solve anything, I don't think, but okay. Yeah, so let's go on. Let's move on here. We've got things to talk about. We've got things to imagine. We've got things. We'll talk. We got a relative to the editor that's very fascinating. But somebody did some math. I haven't double checked his math, but it would be interesting to find out. We'll get to that. Now, here's the kind of thing you didn't really want to hear about, but nothing surprises me anymore. Former and current law enforcement officers in Contra Costa County are under an FBI investigation for setting up DUIs for soon-to-be ex-wives selling drugs and operating brothels. A whistleblower told authorities a private detective had been arranging for men to be arrested for drunk driving at the behest of their ex-wives and their divorce lawyers, and that they used decoys to assist in their entrapments. One alleged victim, David Dusher, met a tall, beautiful blonde on Match.com in late 2008, a few months after separating from his wife. We had a lot in common, he told the LA Times. She loved four-wheel drive trucks and sports. That's as much in common as, you know, a lot of people have. Dutcher and Sharon met for coffee and then a dinner where she told him she had not had sex in a long time. During their second date, Sharon wanted them to meet a friend of hers at a bar to celebrate a recent real estate deal. Sharon's friend, Tash, was a raucous brunette who was pounding down shots. The two women rubbed Dutcher's neck and asked him to help them finish tequila shots before suggesting he follow them to the house with a hot tub. For a hot tub or with a hot tub? had a head on the back of the car. After a few minutes, an officer pulled Dutcher over for a DUI. His wife waited 3 months before telling a judge she feared for the safety of their children because of the DUI. The judge ordered that Dutcher's visits with his children be supervised. Earlier this year, Contra Costa County Sheriff's Senior Deputy Harold W. Jewett sent Dutcher a letter telling him he had been duped by Christopher Butler, a private detective, and the subject of a state and federal investigation. Investigators determined that Butler's hiring of women to help him set up ex-husband for DUIs was but one of his illegal actions. So this is tough. He should have gone for the hot tub after the first date when she said, I haven't had sex in a long time. He should have said, well, let's go have a hot tub. And we'll talk about it. But he didn't do that. So that's what got him in trouble right there. All right. Timing. It's really important timing. It's the whole thing, really, when you think about it. Okay, now, this was another thing that's kind of interesting that I thought we'd pass along today. And this is Uncovered San Luis Obispo, and we've uncovered this, according to Cal Coast News. San Luis Obispo has turned zoning code to keep medical marijuana dispensaries out of the city. Acting Community Development Director Doug Davidson rejected 3 applications for medical marijuana dispensaries because licenses in July, citing zoning code incompatibility, not an emergency ordinance the city has created as a temporary ban on dispensaries. The moratorium is not pertinent anymore, Davidson told Cal Coast News. It's long expired. There is no moratorium. The city had been using Ordinance Number 1466, adopted on November 16, 2004, to prohibit dispensaries in San Luis Obispo. It was an emergency ordinance that by law expired after 45 days. But San Luis Obispo attorney Luke Curry said it's only a matter of time before a new applicant challenges the city's stance on zoning code prohibition of medical marijuana. As the battle continues, as the battle wages over medical marijuana and the federal government's involved and the state's involved and we're involved and everybody's involved, and I'm not involved because I don't use it, but those of us that voted for Prop 215 that say, you know, let's help people out, we're involved in that way. So that's a quick look at CalCoastNews.com today. You can go to CalCoastNews.com and read everything that's there. And people's comments about that. And don't forget, Talk is Cheap is streaming live on calcoastnews.com. In the upper right-hand corner of the banner, you will see Talk is Cheap. You click on that, you click on Listen, and you shall be listening to Talk is Cheap, which you are now, Pat.
Calcoastnews.com on KYNS, your news station. Da-da.
Boy, I've been busy. You know, we were going to have, I'll tell you what happened. This is the thing. You know, we have this, we have our segment we do called Open for Business. And so we take new businesses in the city and say, here, we want to tell you about them. And I think it's a neat feature. So, and it can turn out really neat for me, especially if it's a restaurant. So, La Petite has opened up in Grover. And so they, I was supposed to interview Stefan today. But the idea was to have me go eat something, which is, I think I should do, don't you? And so, because they were featured just recently, maybe this just this last week in Ticket Magazine, but anyway, recently featured. And so I was going to interview him today, but I had no chance. My whole weekend and everything was so screwed up, I had no way to get there. So I told him, why don't we do this on Thursday, and I'll come in on Tuesday. So tonight I'll have a little bite there and talk to Stefan and his wife, who are from the French Alps. Really, they came directly from there to here and open up this French restaurant, so we'll see what it's all about. I'm ready for that Frenchy stuff. Now, this is cute. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you the origins of this cuteness, because it's only right that I do. My wife, bless her heart, Nancy, she was looking through Spencer's flyer, because we're going there tonight also. And so she said, there's things that you should tell people about. And I go, well, I do tell them about them every day. She goes, yes, but here's the deal. She said, for instance, right here, so I have to admit, I didn't mention this, I don't think, this whole week. They have tender eggplants, 2 for $3, and she said it's a very good price. So then you take the eggplant, you take some stuff, the spaghetti sauce they have on sale, you take the cheese, you take the, what else is this? Breadcrumbs. She says there's some kind of breadcrumbs on sale. And you mix them all together, and what do you got? Eggplant Parmesan. And then she said you got the chicken breast with the bones in it. She said that's perfect for what do you call that stuff? Chicken cacciatore. But I know these things. I don't know. Cooking. Anyhow, so then, and she said, fresh red snapper at $4.99 is $2 less than the competition is selling it for. So she said, you should tell people to go to Spencer's. I said, every day I tell them to go to Spencer's. So, okay, I was just making sure. And she said, then you get a salad because they got River Ranch salad blends, 10 to 12 ounce packages, two for $5. So she said, you got your salad, you got your entree there, you got the whole thing going on. And you can buy any kind of dessert. Let me see if I can find you a dessert here. There might be something I can just find right off the top. I've never even had one of these, so to me it sounds more desserty than it does breakfast, and that's a Pop-Tart. Sounds desserty to me. So you got the whole thing right here. You got breakfast foods and cereals and things that are going on. Everything's going great, especially. Don't forget on the front page, the highlight right here. These are my highlights today. Those were Nancy's. Mine are $2.39 a pound for Harris Ranch, a whole top sirloin for a top lock, or $3.99 a pound for top sirloin steaks, and then 69 cents each for Haas avocados. They're buttery rich. They're absolutely fabulous. They're good. And Nancy was going to make me, and I'm really looking forward to this, avocado chicken egg roll. So go to Spencer's Fresh Market. Five locations on the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Rio Grande, and the original store. It's in Santa Maria.
Original. That's original, I'm telling you.
All right, moving on. Moving on, as we do sometimes when things go right. Moving on. Okay. Let me see what I talk about first today. Well, let's do this. Let's do what happened in Vegas. Here's an interesting thing, because this is somebody Nancy knows, and so that makes this a weirder story all around. And the man's name is Randy Bernard. Randy Bernard is from San Luis Obispo. He was the head of the PBR, the rodeo thing, and then he got this job with the Indy 500 Speedway. And so the idea here's what's interesting. Remember I said yesterday, I think it was, I said I don't know that, you know, Indy cars have exposed tires. I don't know if there's ever going to be a time when they change the design of the car. Well, guess what? In 2012, they are changing the design of Indy cars so that those tires don't just stick out like they do, and people can hit each other's tires because that just causes mayhem, which it did in this case. But here's where, you know, when I say, ask what went wrong in Las Vegas, a lot of things went wrong in Las Vegas. I think someone said here, right here, the perfect storm, and that's well said. First off, it's a high-banked oval, which is not what Formula One cars are used to driving on. It's narrower, it's shorter. And so the idea was, well, maybe we can, it was really, you know, let's cobble together this race. And so Randy Bernard's idea was to land a superstar or two from the fender rubbing NASCAR circuit. But nobody bit. Nobody from NASCAR said, well, yeah, we'll get into this crazy Formula One stuff and just see what happens. And a lot of the people in the race that were driving Formula One cars were not well experienced. They were people that weren't regular drivers. They just sort of, you know, borrowed cars and said, here, let's give it a shot. And that was okay with the owners of the cars because the cars are going to be phased. That design is going to be phased out anyway this year. So there's going to be a new design. I have not seen a picture of it, but it's going to somehow incorporate protection for the tires and the wheels. Anyhow, so you had this crazy too many people, too small a track, too everything. And so what's interesting is where's this part here? I want to take them. Well, it says here, who are these new drivers, men and women without much experience at Indy's car's top level? It was a fourth start for Wade Cunningham, who was in the thick of the action when the accident occurred. It was a third career start for Pippa Mann and a 20th for J.R. Hildebrand, who both spent Sunday night in Las Vegas hospitals. I think I got to turn the page over to show you. I do. Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Dario Franchitti, I looked this up on the Internet today, and maybe somebody who knows more about this can call me at 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. Here's what it says in the paper. Dario Franchitti, who won his third consecutive IndyCar title by default on Sunday, recognized early that the racing ahead of him was far too intense. He hooked up with Chip Ganassi racing teammate Scott Dixon and falling to the back of the field and away from danger. So I could see within five laps people were doing some crazy stuff. I love hard racing, but to me this is not really what it's all about. The other thing, too, is that the accident that happened is accidents we've seen before in Formula One cars. It was, I mean, I don't think it was real crazy. It just was a matter that somebody drifted into somebody else's wheel, and their wheel hit their wheel, and that starts the whole thing. You know, immediately, you know, you turn sideways, and then people bap into you and all that, and that's kind of what happened. So, methinks there's going to be a long, hard look at having done this race to begin with and the motive behind doing it. So that's what I'm guessing. All right, we might as well stick with sports. We've got a couple things left in sports. Not a lot. McCourt's finalized the divorce settlement, as you may have heard. So Frank McCourt is the sole owner, but he's not out of the woods yet. And a lot of people say, you know, this guy shouldn't be having anything to do with the Dodgers anymore. And so, you know, it's a matter of whether Major League Baseball is going to try to take over the franchise. So it's the off season, so maybe they can get all this settled by the time, you know, we start again next April. Maybe not, but maybe we can. And then here, this is going on and on, this thing here. Here's everybody's got an opinion. They're like, you know, noses. Everybody has one. Handshake fiasco should not be the focus of the game. In celebration of a huge, perhaps season-defining win, Jim Harbaugh delivered a roundhouse handshake and a backslap of Jim Schwartz. A scrum breaks out with coaches and players. That's the lasting image of Sunday's game. Which, of course, is the lasting image of Sunday's game, for gosh sakes. What are you talking about? It was the lasting image. Everything else in the game was just sort of okay, fun game to watch. And it was just a football game. It wasn't something you see every day. It's funny how it's not, people that write about sports, of course, this is what they do. They understand sports fans far better than I do. But sports fans, you know, they may want to focus on the tailgate party before the game. It's hard to say what somebody's going to focus on. And this is the thing that they thought was the most important part of the game on Sunday, so be it. To me, okay. If that's what you think. I didn't even get it. When I first saw it happening, I wasn't quite sure what had happened. You know, and then they show it over and over again, of course. Then you sort of said, okay, I see what's wrong. Anyway, I was amused by it. And how often is football amusing? It's exciting very often. Amusing, not so much.
Oh, come on. We just had this pipe fixed.
Well, if we had just...
I know. If we had just called Ben Franklin Plumbing like you suggested, we wouldn't need another repair.
I don't want to say I told you so, but it's no secret that Ben Franklin Plumbing is the only plumber to call. From remodels to new construction, Ben Franklin Plumbing does the job right the first time. Plus, their 7-day, 24-hour service means every emergency is taken care of quickly and correctly.
Fine. Let's call Ben Franklin Plumbing.
You'll like this part. Ben Franklin Plumbing is offering $50 off all new business. And when Ben Franklin Plumbing schedules an appointment, they're on time. Or they pay $5 a minute for every minute they're late.
Are you telling me that a plumber will pay me when they're not on time?
That's right, but don't spend that money so fast. Ben Franklin Plumbing is committed to on-time quality service.
So, what's Ben Franklin Plumbing's number?
After I came home from the war, I lost everything. My job, my family. But this place, this is where I started to put my life back together.
A few weeks ago, my husband of 47 years had a stroke. I'm staying here in this room while he recovers. Without this place, I don't know what I'd do.
At Volunteers of America, we envision a world where everyone has a place to call home.
12 years my family lived in that house. Then it was gone, washed away in a flood. We were on the street. The day we came here, that's when I knew we could make it.
But it's not just about having a place to call home. It's about improving lives. Through our programs and support, our promise and hope, we work so that no one will be left behind. After all, who are we as a society if we don't help those who need it the most? To help strengthen your community, visit VolunteersOfAmerica.org.
There you go. Here's what we're going to do musically today. I thought, what the heck? I went to the top 10 that's out. Adele has three songs in the top 10, so we've got to play one by her. That's for sure. But I found some other good stuff I like. Lady Antebellum has a new song out called Just a Kiss that's doing very well. And Maroon 5 has a song called Moves Like Jagger. Oops, get a kick out of. So let's hear from Lady Antebellum first.
Lying here with you so close to me, it's hard to fight these feelings when it feels so hard to breathe. I'm caught up in this moment, I'm caught up in your smile.
I've never opened up to anyone, so hard to hold back.
Bellum with another big winner, and that's Just a Kiss. Hi, you're with Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network. I thank you for joining me today on 1340 KYNS, your news station. My phone numbers are 786-2578, 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340, 1-866-937-1340. If it's on your mind and you want to share it, you certainly may. I think I'm going to go here, because it's near and dear to my soul. Supreme Court to rule on the Stolen Valor Act, and the way they wrote this article is so confusing. This one part is just like, let's see, what? But, all right, we'll try. So here's the deal. The Supreme Court's going to hear on people that wear medals that they either never earned or they were never in the service, and then they walk around claiming they have medals. It's a case. Well, this case is really pathetic. It's a guy that said he was in the Marine Corps and got the Medal of Honor. Okay. Anyway, but here's what was said in this. The stakes go well beyond military wannabes, making the case called United States versus Alvarez one of the most anticipated First Amendment challenges of the court's 2011 term. Now, here's what this guy said, and I don't know if I understand this at all. If the act is constitutional, meaning wearing medals that you didn't earn, then there'd be no constitutional bar to criminalizing lying about one's height, weight, age, or financial status on Match.com or Facebook, warns this Judge Smith, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So I don't know what he's saying. If the act is constitutional, then it says if the act is constitutional, which make it non-criminal, then there'd be no stopping the criminalizing of lying on Facebook and all that. Anyway, that's the whole statement's bizarre to me. Anyway, I don't understand what he's saying. And here's to me the crux of this whole thing. You know, you go on Facebook or Match.com or I don't care what it is. You know, whatever information you put there, this has nothing to do with you, but your personal statements to somebody else about what you are. And that's a far cry from military citations and honors that are earned by military people and awarded from the president. I have a thing from the Secretary of the Navy. I have a thing from Secretary of Defense. I mean, you know, everything you receive, there's someone that's attached to it. There's some authority in the military that has recognized you for doing something. So, it's I think that's so far beyond the pale of when it comes to saying, well, I weigh 200 pounds, and, you know, and I'm 6'6", and I'm real handsome. If you're on Match.com or whatever it is, what the heck has that got to do with anything? I don't think it has anything to do with anything. So what you're basically doing is you are misrepresenting the federal government. How do I want to say it? You're committing an act of fraud against the federal government because that's who issues military citations. Now, that would be my argument. That's my argument, that you're committing an act of fraud. And that's where I find this. What's wrong with it? It seems ludicrous to me that people could just walk around and say, "Well, I earned this and I earned that, and they didn't earn a darn thing." I think it's vastly different to just, you know, some ambiguous thing about, you know, how much you weigh or how you look. We'll see where it goes. And here's the thing with the Supreme Court today, and I know that people say, "Well, we got a conservative court, we got a liberal court, we got this, we got that." I'll tell you what, by the time the voting gets done sometimes these days, you know, remember, we have corporations that are individuals. That's all I have to say. This court found corporations to be individuals. Enough said. So we'll see where it goes. All right. Well, I got a story here that's kind of cute, though. I want to share this one with you. Okay. Now, we hear about theft all the time. You know, people, the crimes of theft. We hear about those. Here's a different one altogether.
Presidential seal on a podium, the see-through teleprompters, and a portable sound system. It's pretty typical when you see President Obama speak. Well, thieves saw the truck carrying that equipment and couldn't resist the target.
We're told the truck was parked at the Virginia Center Commons Courtyard Marriott in advance of Wednesday's presidential visit to Chesterfield.
And sources say inside that vehicle was about $200,000 worth of sound equipment, several podiums and presidential seals behind which only the president himself can stand.
Sources tell me around 12:30 this afternoon that truck was recovered here in the parking lot of this Holiday Inn Express near the airport, and hotel staff confirmed police activity. One guest I spoke with says he saw various law enforcement agencies examining a white box truck parked here.
According to him, this entire back parking lot was blocked off as Henrico police, along with, quote, lots of guys in suits, investigated. He says the truck had no markings, no indication anything special was inside. And another big question now, whether any of that was actually stolen. Late this evening, we found this truck with U.S. government tags still parked in the Marriott.
Parking lot.
Lots. We're waiting to find out if that is the original truck returned to the staff or a second vehicle.
Okay, well, we're trying to find that out. But anyway, teleprompters ripped the whole thing right there. I know that there's heyday's coming in the cartoon section. Heyday's coming. It's be prepared. All right. Now here's a thought. Jail realignment could mean less recidivism, experts say. Under new state prison law, judges now have freedom to better tailor sentences to criminals. So, well, this will be the noble experiment, I suppose, that happened by accident by sending people to jail rather than prison, is to find out if perhaps maybe they end up end up better off in the long run and become more productive citizens once they're released. Here's what I don't understand, I'm trying to get my brain wrapped around this, because there's many, many things you can go to jail for that are fairly serious to me, instead of going to prison. So, the theory behind this whole, part of the theory is this, that you take people that could end up being okay, could make a one-time mistake, and they could end up, you know, just doing some jail time, and then they're back on the street, and they're going to be okay. You know, it's like it was a one-time affair, and then they're going to get their act together and all that. Whereas if you put them in prison for it, then they get caught up in the prison system, the gangs, the whole thing, and it ends up to be a life of mayhem. But here's what I don't see was going to be prevented. As the jails become what the prisons were, and the prisons remain what the prisons are, what's going to prevent the type of activity that occurs in federal penitentiaries or state penitentiaries from becoming what happens in jails? So that's, all we're doing is we're shifting the people to some other facility that now the state is supposed to be reimbursed for, and the reason we're doing this is because there's not enough room in the prisons. So you're still taking a lot of the same people that are doing the same things all the time and saying, okay, we're going to glop them together in another place. I don't see how that's going to change much. I'm not saying that there aren't cases where if a judge says, okay, it makes no sense to really hang on to this guy too long because, you know, this is what he did and it's not that serious, if that's the case. In the valley of the valley, over there in the valley, lots of operations of marijuana growing are in plain sight. The growing operations have moved out of forests and the yards more than ever this summer. The California Narcotics Officer have been pulled millions fewer pot plants from the state's remote forests than in past years. The reason investigators say the drug traffickers have come right down out of the mountains to plant pot in plain sight in backyards and on prime farmland, where California's medical marijuana law makes them tougher to bust. See, we're back to this again now. So, but when you're growing marijuana inside other fields of other stuff, then one tends to believe that you're still trying to hide it. Does one not? I would think. Anyhow, historically, growers of large-scale illicit pot gardens relied on the cover and isolation of California's wildernesses to protect their plants. Last year, the state's annual campaign to root out much grows netted them 4.3 million plants worth billions of dollars. This year, however, the number of plants seized dropped by almost half. They didn't say how many billions of dollars worth. Billions of dollars. So this is why you have, you know, this is where this is becoming an interesting ally, and that's the economy and potheads. People that smoke marijuana say we should legalize it. It's not that big a deal. And the people that are looking, a lot of people that are looking at our state on its rear end are going, if you taxed it, then you could make a whole lot of money off it. So this is sort of a natural occurrence, I would think. So that's why I'm for it. You know, tax the stuff, tax, and then put some casinos in and state casinos, and let's make some money for the state. Let's quit dipping around. I don't understand it at all. Oh, here's some math I wanted to tell you. Here's somebody wrote a letter, and I wanted to get this math right. which I thought was it's a good point. I didn't check it, but I'm gonna go with it. And this is Norm Jackson, the Atascadero, wrote this. Cause of revolution. Aristotle discusses the causes of revolution, which also describes our country's sick condition. In his book 5, he noted that a democracy which is taken over by the wealthy class becomes an oligarchy, leading to a revolution. The Greeks had a ruling class and a working class, but they let no individual or class become too rich or powerful. They held the balance evenly between rich and poor. The rich could not make more than 7 times that of the poor. To let the rich gain more would invite insurrection. The CEO of my insurance company makes $125 million per year. Let's put that into perspective. If you were to make $50,000 per year, how long would it take you to earn what the CEO makes in 1 year? It would take you 2,500 years to make what he makes in 1 year. That is how obscene this disparity is. That is why we are having insurrection across the nation. The corporations pay these high salaries and then write them off as a cost of doing business, which reduces their tax bill to nothing. So here's another thing. This is really interesting because all the hue and cry about Barack Obama that, you know, first started when he became president and hasn't subsided, about socialism and socialized medicine and all that stuff. Well, people are basically now saying there should be some limit to how rich people can be. And it's interesting because in this capitalistic society, that was never imagined before. So then you have employer-employee and you have this sort of thing, but then you have, here's another letter, our obligation. Steve Jobs had been widely quoted as telling Stanford students to do what you love. Herman Cain says, if you're not rich, it's your own fault. What about the preschool teacher or the auto mechanic who loves what he does but will never be rich and may not even be in the middle class? Apparently he hasn't taken his car in lately. Preschool teacher? Okay. Auto mechanic? They're doing very well right now. Thank you. Anyway, what about the people who pave our streets and pick up our trash? They may not love their jobs and they'll never be rich either. And what about the people whose educational abilities do not allow them to have a job which will make them rich? Perhaps the hospital orderly or the man who climbs up in a bucket to cut down the trees. It's interesting these jobs that Alice picked, but that's okay. They are all important people in our community. Those of us who are comfortably middle class or rich really rely on those who aren't. Why? What is our obligation as a society? I don't know. What is your obligation to society? What is our obligation to society? And it's interesting to me that you look at the super rich, and they had something, there was a chart I saw someplace on Facebook, I think, today that said, this whole 1% concept of people being, Wall Street money mongers is very ill-conceived, that that's not really where these people come from. But the interesting thing is, if you want to look at what someone does, the value of what someone actually does to contribute to society versus what they get paid, if that's going to be a criteria, then what in the world can we say about professional athletes? Seriously. They're paid millions of dollars, and yet what they contribute to society is entertainment. Or the other argument would be what they contribute to society is when they buy all their blings and blangs and their fancy cars, they contribute to the economy because they're buying stuff, which is everybody's contributing. Everybody contributes to our economy when we buy something. There's no question about that. But, the question becomes, who has the money to do it? And where should the money come from? And when should it start and when should it stop? And let's get on the phone and say hello to somebody today. Hello?
Hey, Billy Boy. Yeah, I got a couple of things right off the bat. When you were saying about the professional athlete, well, how about actors and actresses?
Got another good point. Another good point.
An actor or an actress who actually does about a 6-hour day when they're doing a movie should be paid $30 million for less than 3 months' worth of work.
All right, I'll buy that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them that aren't getting that. There's at least a dozen of them that I know of that are getting $30 million a movie. And it goes up and down with their supposedly pulling ability or whatever it might be. But then, you know, and like you say, athletes too. And the fact that if we eliminated the corporate allowance for season tickets and the luxury boxes and that kind of stuff, those prices would go down quite a bit. I mean, you know, you've got an NFL city, and you've got half of the seats are season tickets, and two-thirds of those are through companies, which take that out on their taxes. So, you know, basically the rest of us are reimbursing the sports industry, whether we're going or not. And the same thing with the movies. If you stop going to that movie that costs $15 to go see, then the salaries start coming down.
Now, what's interesting is I'll counter argue myself with this and say, all right, they just interviewed on the CBS News here an hour ago. They interviewed a lady who's in some city that has a business that depends on the NBA. And so she said, you know, she's on her butt because, you know, she has no business right now. And that's a fact. So then you say, okay, it gets to be a very diverse and a lot of disparity in the arguments, because if you say, well, what do you contribute, you know, so does the NFL or the NBA rather contribute to a city and its economy? Of course it does. It brings in revenue and it employs people, not by itself, but, you know, outside of itself. And so
Right. Is
that a benefit? Yes, but that's different than when you're talking about, I think, individually, you know, how much is this person paid versus how much is this person's paid.
And it's also the fact of how long is it there that it becomes a plus on the economy because of the sweetheart deals and giving them stadiums, whatever else might occur. That NFL team, that Major League Baseball, that basketball, that whatever pro team might have to be there for, you know, 20 years before they actually show a real profit, even though it's showing that they're bringing in $200 million or $100 million a year for having that franchise there. The other thing that I wanted to ask you is, tell me, what is the difference between a corporation and a union? Because unions have forever been exempt with spending their money on advertising against or for or whatever. And, you know, to me, that's the same difference. They're doing something in the exact same way that a business, a corporation would, because a union is a business.
I think the argument would be, and I don't know, it's a good argument, I'm guessing, the argument would be that a union is a collective of individuals, whereas a corporation acts as a board of directors, as a single entity in what they do and what decisions they make. That would be my guess.
You think so? What union have you been in that your voice counts?
I've never been in a union.
I have. Oh. My voice didn't count for squat. So, you know. The only time, in fact, they ever wanted to hear from me was when it was to sign the new contract or to pay my dues. Outside of that, they didn't want to hear from me, and I had no recourse on the way that they spent their funds.
How do you?
Whether I thought it was right or wrong or in between.
That's very interesting, and, you know, because I've never been involved in a union. It's interesting to have you bring that up, because I often ask myself, you know.
I was even a union rep for the organization, you know, we had no voice, none whatsoever. There was less than a board of directors that basically said how the money was going to be spent, what candidates we were going to support, and how much advertising we were going to do for them.
Wow. Interesting. No, I mean, you have a very good point, I have to admit.
Yeah, so under those circumstances, that's why I say, you know, if it's good for one, it's good for the other, or it's good for neither. I would like to see it good for neither.
Let's go backwards again, because we only got a couple minutes. I want to go back to the sports thing and just mention this. So LA's batting about this idea of putting a football stadium in. And then hoping somebody says that we want to come to L.A. I guess that's how they do it.
There are three teams right now that would like to come to L.A.
Who's that?
The Minnesota Vikings, the San Diego Chargers, and possibly Cleveland as well.
Now, I can understand why Cleveland, Minnesota would want to come to L.A. Why would San Diego?
Well, because their attendance has dropped off. Mostly their fans are bandwagoners. So when they were doing well, it was great. But now that they're not in the playoffs, it's, so-so.
So what you basically do then is start with a whole new fan base and hope that they're all happy for a while with you and then until they poop out.
Well, there's still people that go from here to see the Oakland Raiders or the San Francisco 49ers when they're in town.
That's true.
And if they hold season tickets. So, you know, football is different from most other sports because you only have one game a week.
Now, the interesting thing also is that, I understand the common thought as far as cities subsidizing stadiums is that in the long run, it doesn't pay off because of what you said. If you give too much tax incentives and all that to a stadium, and you say to the taxpayers, you're going to pay for the stadium, but it's going to pay you back. Like you say, it takes at least 20 years to pay you back, and in some cases, it doesn't pay you back at all.
Right. I mean, the last stadium that I know the money on, Dallas Stadium, was almost $1.5 billion it cost to build that stadium. How long would it take for that tax revenue to catch up with that? But for the most part, Jimmy Jones did that on his own. And the people that want to build a stadium in Los Angeles are looking to do that on their own. The only thing that they don't want is they don't want the city of Los Angeles or the county of Los Angeles to hold them up for all these fancy permits and things and specialty purchases of land and all that kind of stuff.
Very interesting. I mean, I think any city like the size of L.A. says, why is it we don't have a football team? But at the same time, the economy being what it is and finances being what they are right now, again, the question becomes, is it going to pay off?
It isn't even the city of Los Angeles. The NFL wants a team there because they're the hot thing in sports right now, and that's the second biggest media market in the country, New York being number one, but L.A. being a real close number two. And even the stations that carry the NFL, even if they don't have, team in Los Angeles, they still do production shows about the NFL from Los Angeles.
Interesting stuff. Thanks, Mike, for all your thoughts today, and I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
No problem, Billy Boy. Talk to you real soon.
Take care. All right, we got CBS News coming up. After CBS News, we'll have Adele on, and then we have more things to talk about. You can call at 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. And this is 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo, your news station on the Central Coast.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Social Security benefits will be inching up in January. It is a cost of living increase expected to be about 3.5%. And it's good news for about 55 million older Americans.
Something is better than nothing, but independent consultant William Arnon says the cost of living adjustment does not capture the true impact of inflation on Social Security recipients.
The consumer price index that's currently being used consistently understates the amount of money older people pay toward one very high-cost item, and that's health care.
An expected 3.5% increase amounts to about $40 a month for the average beneficiary, and Arnon says a lot of it will get taken back by higher Medicare premiums. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Stamps go to 45 cents in January. The Postal Service, which is losing billions, says it has no choice but to increase the price of postage. Post Office lost $8 billion last year and is expected to lose more than that this year. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 178 points. The Nasdaq was up about 42. Oil prices, a little more than $88 a barrel. One Israeli soldier swapped for more than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. Those are Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza celebrating, figuring they got the better end of that deal. The swap started today in Israel with the release of 477 prisoners and freedom for Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, here through an interpreter.
I hope that this agreement will further the peace efforts and it will end the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
He had been held for 5 years by Hamas in Gaza. Marines appreciate their commandant today, who clarified a traditional rule against wearing most jewelry in the combat theater. The killed in action, missing in action bracelets are A-OK with the general.
Per our regulations, we're not permitted to wear jewelry outside of, you know, a ring, a watch. Now the commandant has decided to allow us to wear the KIA memorial bracelet.
That's U.S. Marine Captain Kendra Hardesty. Marines have said it is important to them to honor their fallen brothers and sisters. ICE says its deportation efforts have been very busy in the last year trying to get the illegal immigrants out.
Immigration agents deported nearly 400,000 people in the fiscal year that ended recently. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says that's the largest number ever kicked out of the country in 1 year. More than half of those deported were convicted criminals, and many of them had recently crossed the border or were repeat violators.
CBS's Howard Arenstein in Washington. Arnold is back. Arnold Schwarzenegger, former California governor, is making a new movie on the set of The Last Stand in New Mexico. He'll be a small-town border sheriff, kind of like Walking Tall meets Prison Break movies with a few wrinkles. This is CBS News.
The Home Depot has a new idea for easier installation of insulation. New Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation at a new lower price of only $9.97 a roll. It's easier to handle, and at this new lower price, it's a lot easier on your wallet. So make it easy on yourself with Owens Corning EcoTouch insulation, just $9.97 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're out!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Republicans who want the nomination for president will meet tonight in Las Vegas in a new debate. The last one was to focus on the economy, and Herman Cain's 999 tax strategy grabbed the spotlight in part because it was as catchy as any pizza logo.
This is Steve Futterman in Las Vegas. Much of the attention tonight almost certainly will be on Herman Cain. He has moved from a second-tier candidate to near the top in recent polls, and Cain will likely get lots of questions about his 999 tax plan.
The experts say whether debates indicate a candidate's capacity for leadership is a debate, but they do help craft public perceptions. In Sandusky, Ohio, college psych students will go to Cedar Point Amusement Park and study their phobias about roller coasters. 15 who say they are afraid of them will have to ride the rides and try to get through such things as the top thrill dragster. A professor calls it exposure therapy. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Ever since Chase Freedom announced their $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes, the phones have been ringing off the hook. But you don't need to call. All you have to do is like the Chase Freedom Facebook page and enter for your chance to win. Well, now I miss the ringing. Get your cash back in the Chase Freedom $1 million Get Your Cash Back sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Sweepstakes end 10-23-11. Void where prohibited. Open to U.S. residents 21 or older. For complete official rules and how to enter, go to Facebook.com/ChaseFreedomCashback. Facebook not associated with this promotion.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you.
I let it fall.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, for the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Huge savings happen every day at Idler's Appliance Outlet.
Unbelievable savings on refrigerators, washers, dryers, ranges, dishwashers, and more. Nobody matches our selection of closeout store models and factory blemished appliances. All brand new, all with factory functional warranties. There's no need to wait for a sale. You can save 20, 30, 40% every day, and new stock arrives weekly.
Idler's Appliance Outlet. Idler's. The best prices just got better. Guaranteed.
Come with me if you want to live.
And then he got melted up there, Terminator, and then he came back, and then he came back again.
Hi, you're Bill. This is 1340 KYNS, your news station, San Luis Obispo, and this is Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network. Thanks for joining me today. I thought this was interesting, and so I'm sitting here, I've been thinking about this all morning a little bit, not remember how. I was thinking, okay, if you did this, if you didn't, how would this turn out? Making our money cost a mint. So here's the point they make, is that when it costs pennies, it costs 2 cents to make a penny, and it costs, how much does it make a nickel? It costs 9 cents to make a nickel. Does that sound stupid? It is. It is. Okay. So, you probably can't use aluminum for coins because they're not heavy enough. But stainless steel perhaps is inexpensive. It's heavy. It won't tarnish. Bang! Here's the point. So I guess on naval base or military bases, they've gotten rid of the penny and said, okay, everything's rounded off to the nickel, and it seems to be working fine. And I got to think to myself, well, if the nickel costs 9 cents to make, get rid of the dang nickel too. And then they're talking about paper money. But see, we've tried the Susan B. Anthony, and we tried that other Sacagawea job. And something needs to be much more distinct for the dollar coin and not quite so subtle, so that the dollar coin would certainly be bigger than... Well, how many people use a 50-cent piece, for instance? So somewhere between a quarter and a 50-cent piece would be the size of a dollar, let's say. Because, no, I don't think anybody's using half bucks anymore. You save them. You get a half a dollar, you save it. And so... So here's my thinking. So let's say you rounded up, everything was to the dime. Yeah. So we would still have the dime. So something could still cost $5.90. Which is what some people would still do, but then you add your tax, and so then the question is, if you took your tax and you were going to round it off to either to the nearest dime, either up or down. And I should ask Marilyn this in the Parade magazine. So over a course of time, would it equal out pretty much? Depending on what people are pricing things at, but maybe not. I don't know because it would have to do with that 90-cent thing that people would still do, and it's very effective. I mean, I will be the first to admit. Well, it works everything. It works for pricing merchandise. It works for gasoline. If you say how much is the gas today, and it's $3.99, sometimes you'll say it's $4 a gallon, but you'll say it's $3.99. But let's make it a little bit less. $389.9. You don't say it's $390. Oh, it's $389. Oh, okay. Ignore the fact that it's, you know, a tenth of a way from another penny. And when your wife says, how much did that cost? You say, this cost $7. Is that a great deal or not? And it actually costs $7.99. They say it's $7, and people round down. It's psychologically, they get you to buy it by cutting off the penny, and then psychologically your brain says, well, I spent $7 on it, and you actually spent almost $8. So what's the answer exactly? What was the question? Here's what they say. Say a buck, usually, a paper money lasts about 3 years. Of course, it's cheap to print, isn't it? Once you've got the new plates and everything. Of course, now we got all, I don't know I haven't heard lately what it costs to print a paper money. They say here, though, the production savings could add up to, let's say, a coin's lifespan. So here, that's all they have. They don't say how much it costs to do the thing. It's got the, we use that kind of linen fiber thingy. It's got stuff inside and funny colors. And I don't know if that costs a lot more. The reason I mentioned it is this. In the military, and I don't know if it's the same thing, I suppose, maybe it is. I've never asked a soldier coming back from Afghanistan this question. Do you use money or do you use script? Because when we were overseas in Vietnam, we used script. So they didn't want any American money out in the market because then people get involved in black market money. And so they you were issued script. So everything, a dollar, you could have a $10 script. It was a little piece of paper. It looked like Monopoly money. I'm not as exactly what it looked like. It had jet planes on it and stuff like that. So it looked, you had a 10, you had a 5, maybe a 20 was the highest, 20, 10s, 5s. But then you had all the way down to, no pennies, you had down to a nickel, though, in paper money. So they had, you had quarters, dimes, and nickels. It was all paper. And you never took it seriously. First of all, you didn't have to spend any money on anything. There was nothing to buy. That's just an advantage. There's nothing really to buy. And so, you know, you just kept a little wad of money crumpled up in your pocket. You know, you couldn't figure out what it was. I don't know. You never knew how much it was. That works that way, you know. It is interesting. We could go back to salt. We could carry bags of salt around. And you weigh it out, Mike. All right. That's my discussion of pecunium today. I don't think I'll have another one for some time. I'm curious about how and why things are. For instance, here's this New Zealand disaster-stricken ship is breaking apart, and this is in New Zealand, hit a reef and all that. And so it's listing 21 degrees and leaking oil. It also has a crack the width of the hull, which isn't a good thing. Then here's all these cargo containers that are falling over, you know. They're sort of supporting themselves by just strange balance. But you would think there'd be a way to get those guys, you know, like some kind of guys. They sell a crane in the distance. Is there a floating crane that could lift those cargo containers? Obviously, they're worth their stuff in there that somebody's expecting. Yeah. All right. Other things that are going on. There's a story here, speaking of what's going on overseas, and here this is Libya. U.S. considers cyber warfare in Libya. Just before the U.S. led strikes against Libya in March, the Obama administration intensely debated whether to open the mission with a new kind of warfare, a cyber offensive to disrupt, even disable the Gaddafi government's air defense system, which threatened Allied warplanes. While the exact techniques under consideration remain classified, the goal would have been to break through the firewalls of the Libyan government's computer networks to sever military communication links and prevent the early warning radars from gathering information relating to missile batteries aimed at NATO warplanes. But administration officials and even some military officers balked, fearing that it might set a precedent for other nations, in particular Russia or China, to carry out such offensives of their own, and questioned that whether the attack could be mounted on such short notice. A previously undisclosed debate among a small circle of advisors demonstrates the cyber offenses are a growing form of warfare. Here's what we... our game of diplomacy with other countries is somewhat berserk, in my opinion. It's just, it's completely berserk. We didn't want to do it because, and this obviously, and this is in case, is it in case we ever went to war with China or Russia? So if we did it in Libya, you know, then they might go, well, if they did it, we can do it. Do you think the Russians and the Chinese, when it comes to warfare, as a guess, just as a guess, do you think they're sitting there going, I don't know if we should attack their computer, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that? Are you serious? Are you flipping serious? If there is a major war, if there's a major war, it's guaranteed, 100% that the first thing that's going to happen is that they're going to go after, they're going to engage in cyber warfare. The next thing they're going to do, as we know, even though there are no such thing as hunter killer satellites because they, you know, we signed treaties that said we wouldn't have any, we know immediately those will break into action and wipe out communication satellites. It's like we play this game and we all know that we're sort of lying, but we all keep this pretense up that, well, this is how we would do it. This is the right thing to do and this is the wrong thing to do if we have war. And it's like, there's no right or wrong thing in war. It's all wrong, but it's all right. You know. I don't get it. I don't get it. You're going to go into Tripoli. You're going to go in, and now we didn't have any of our own troops, you know. But how many people are going to die because the protocol is that you just can't take out other world leaders? You can bomb them into oblivion eventually, but you can't just take them out. And this makes sense to anybody? This makes sense that all these civilians are displaced and killed and wounded and everything? And all you have to do is get one man. You win by getting one guy. But you don't go after the one guy because, well, it's not the way we do things. You know, we have to kill off a whole lot of other people first. There's something wrong with how we're doing things. Okay. Just my thinking. You can jump in any time. At 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. I can tell you what's coming up is Maroon 5 we're going to hear from. And I think they'll like that. They're very popular. I think like them too. And the song, I try to make sure it's a song that people wouldn't get too crazy with. That, you know. So after all, this is just for a pause in the yakking and entertainment value. I'm not trying to sell albums. But if they'll pay me money, I'll payola, I'll do everything I can. I guess this is one of those hideous stories that you don't want to hear about. And these are the kind of stories that make Dennis go out to his garden. In Philadelphia, the landlord for the apartment building at first thought a circuit breaker had tripped when he went to the basement Saturday and found all the lights were out. Then he realized all six bulbs had been removed and he heard dogs barking inside a boiler room. The door was chained shut. He removed the chain, stepped into the foul-smelling room, and lifted a pile of blankets. Several sets of human eyes stared back at him. He had stumbled upon four mentally disabled adults, all weak and malnourished, and one chained to the boiler. He may also have stumbled upon a vast scheme stretching from Philadelphia to Norfolk, Virginia, to West Palm Beach, Florida, and Texas to steal the Social Security disability checks of defenseless and vulnerable people, authorities said. Philadelphia police are on Saturday arrested three adults staying in an apartment upstairs, including the person accused by the person accused of being the ringleader, Linda Ann Weston, who had been convicted for murder in 1981 of a starvation death. The Texans also found dozens of ID cards, power of attorney forms, and other documents in the apartment, suggesting the theft scheme involved more than just the four captives. Without a doubt, this is just the beginning of the investigation, Lieutenant Ray Evers said on Monday. Weston, 51, was charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, and other offenses, and a bail set at $2.5 million. Also arrested with a man she described as her boyfriend, 50-year-old Eddie Wright, and 47-year-old Gregory Thomas. The victims, aged 29 to 41, have the mental capacities of 10-year-olds. One of them, Tamara Breeden, had been reportedly missing by her family in Philadelphia in 2005, police said. I can't help myself. I'm this kind of guy. I can't help myself. I say to myself, there's no punishment too great for these people. There's just no punishment too great. Here we go. We're back to whether we should be tested, how we should be tested, when we should be tested, and all this testing stuff. Panel questions, HPV tests. Is PAP is best cervical cancer screening? There's more news on cancer screening tests, this time for women. Scientists advising the government say a PAP test is a good way to screen young and middle-aged women for cervical cancer. It's only needed once every 3 years, but they say there's not enough evidence yet to back testing for HPV, the virus that causes the disease. That's at odds with the American Cancer Society and other groups, which have long said that using both tests can be an option for women over 30. Those groups and the U.S. Prevention Services Task Force separately plan to release proposed new guidelines for cervical cancer screening on Wednesday. In the U.S., cases and death rates have been cut more than in half since the 1970s because of Pap smears, lab exams of cells scraped from the cervix. Not enough is known about the benefits and harm of HPV testing, including a review last week and published on Monday. Here's the dilemma. Infections with HPV are very common, especially in young women. They usually go away on their own and only pose a cancer risk when they last a year or more. Tests that find the human papillomavirus might lead many women to more invasive follow-up tests that can weaken the cervix and cause problems having children later. It seems to me, in the year 2011, obviously what our problem is here is if we have a problem, well, I guess we do, is our testing procedures. Our testing procedures are inconclusive without, you know, having to go invasively do something to men or women. And so the thing to me is why are we not working harder on having some kind of a test that, you know, can absolutely determine what you need to know without the invasive part of it? And, you know, and this is just a reaction. This is probably not true at all. But, I mean, I'm just as a guy sitting here going, and it seems like it's when they do an invasive procedure, it seems like it's almost reckless that if it causes so many problems. It's like, again, if you have to have an invasive procedure, isn't there a better invasive procedure than we're seeing now?
I'm no doctor, but I can play one on TV.
When you want an easier way to deal with the hassles of fraud this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you're covered with zero liability protection, which means you won't be held responsible for any unauthorized purchases or ATM transactions if promptly reported. We'll also protect your money by monitoring your account for unusual activity. And you'll be happy to know this built-in protection won't cost you a thing. Call, click, or stop by today to learn more about our zero liability protection. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit Staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
Later. Much later, we heard something. We didn't breathe for listening. Then footsteps on the back porch, creeping, then more conflict. After all, nobody was home. A hand closed on the knob on the screen door to the kitchen and found it latched. We heard a little sawing sound as a file began to slice through the screen wire. Grandma reached down for something in her sewing basket. Through the darkness, I managed to notice Grandma's rocker was rocking and she wasn't in it. She was standing over me. "Keep just behind me," she whispered. I followed her across the room into the kitchen. Now we were by the door, and I heard the scuffle of heavy feet in there on the crinkly linoleum. Grandma turned back to me. Under my nose, she struck a wooden match with her thumbnail. She touched the match to something in her other hand. It sizzled. Then she leaned down and rolled it into the invisible kitchen. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book A Long Way from Chicago by Richard Peck. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Herman Cain got the front runner's treatment this weekend. Take a look.
If America is looking for catchy, unworkable solutions to complicated problems, Herman Cain will keep them coming. How do we fight terrorism? My 555 plan. For every terrorist, America will send 5 airplanes, 5 soldiers, and 5 of those dogs that caught Osama bin Laden. How do we fix health care? The 333 plan. Every time you get sick, you get 3 pills, 3 days off, and 3 chicken noodle soups.
Always count on SNL. It's a sign of success. When SNL
Saturday,
is Saturday that is true. That is true. Just ask the whole flip. That's right.
All right. We just took care of that. Thank you. Enough. Do you hear me? All right. So that was Saturday Night Live doing a little fun thing with Herman. All right. You're Bill. This is Talk is Cheap. Hey, it's 25 minutes before the hour, 2 o'clock. And it's supposed to not be very warm today. You never can tell. 74, 76, somewhere in the 70s, but from middle to low. And the sun's, you know, just kind of taking its time coming out and all that. All right, now this is oh boy, oh boy. Okay, are we ready? I don't think we are. Are we ready? I doubt it. Council faces monumental choice in San Luis Obispo. A plan to put signs depicting the public to key downtown destinations and a monument welcoming drivers in the city as its northern edge will go before the San Luis Obispo City Council tonight. The so-called wayfinding program is intended to point people toward a local location such as Mission Plaza, the courthouse downtown, highway access, probably Bubblegum Alley, the other thing. It was driven from feedback from visitors trying to find things downtown. Which is true. We have no signage that works any good. You know, they have, every now and then you'll see a sign to go to the international airport, but then there's not much follow-up signage. So, all right. So here they have these things. This is called the wayfinding signs, and Pierre Rademacher, designer of the stars, is involved in that. And I didn't know this because I haven't seen an official plaque or seal or anything of the city of San Luis Obispo in a long, long time. But they've updated because they took out the floss silk tree that was there for 40 years and caused all kinds of controversy and took it out. But I don't mind because I got 2 cuttings from it and they're growing just fine, thank you. So in 40 years, you can come to my place and see floss silk trees. All right. I don't know whether where I have them, I'm not sure. They're going to take out my driveway and I think the guy next door. I don't suppose I'm going to be here. Okay. All right. So the council will be asked to approve $50,000 for the signs, money that has already been set aside. Council also will be asked to approve the conceptual plan for an entry monument in the southwest corner of Highland Drive and Santa Rosa Street. A National Scenic Byways grant through the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments would finance the majority of that. However, the city might be asked to pay $50,000 of the project's estimated $185,000. That monument, larger than the one at the southern edge of the city off Highway 101, thankfully, would be about 12 feet tall, with the highest portion reaching 21 feet. It would be lit at night and surrounded by landscaping. How swell is that? So anyway, the goal is to create, with signage, to create uniformity downtown. Which is fine. If the money's already spent, but then we go back to when we've already earmarked money to be spent. But here's the problem. When federal grants, state grants, anybody's grants come along, they say here, use it or lose it. And so you have to kind of strike while the iron's hot, really. So we please, this is going to be up there by, Cal Poly has a very nice sign for itself on Highland and 101. And if we're going to put a mission-y thing on the other side of the street, could we put a really nice, think Paso Robles. Even Atascadero's new stuff is good. Morro Bay uses a billboard. I don't mind that. Yeah. I'm not saying put up a billboard. Heavens to us. I didn't have to say that. But, you know, something that says, this is the city of San Luis Obispo. Those little wimpy jobber dudes we have on the side of the road on the north and south ends of town. What are those things? I forget what they were expensive, too. I think, were they like, I don't remember, $85,000 each? Something like that? And it's like, you know, what we needed, unfortunately, what we needed was about 3 times that much money for each one. You know, if you're going to bother to do it. But we, you know, we were on a budget and said, okay, we'll make these little things by the side of the road that, you know, if the weeds grow more than 2 days, you can't see anyway. I once again commend Pastor Wells for the beautiful entrance to the city. Makes me just want to go there, just to see that, like on Springsfield, before Springsfield. Okay. So we'll work on that. They have a picture here of the rotunda in Atascadero, and it's covered to protect the stretch from rain while seismic retrofitting is underway. 1970 landmark city administration building, most recently housed city offices in the Atascadero Historical Society before it closed after the earthquake in San Simeon in 2003. Three-phase project to fix the site, and in 2013, the entire project is nearly 20% complete, according to Bernard Construction. It's I have to say, you know, there was talk about, well, maybe we need to remove it, or we're not sure after the earthquake and everything, but I'm absolutely pleased that Atascadero kept that. It's a beautiful building. And after all, you know, it's with old Lewis, E.G., you know, that's what it was about. That was the center of his master plan, was that building. Out from there. I think it's a cool building. We have some cool stuff, two of which are not the interest of the signs on the entrances to San Luis Obispo. Thank you. New York marketing, maybe. We have, you know, when you come in off of Broad Street, you know, when you say there's a sign that says, here, go this way to go into San Luis Obispo, and you're downtown, we have that little fountain. I like that. You know? We need a bigger fountain. Maybe we need a real, like a Versailles type fountain, you know, a big European fountain there. You know, when you come in, it's a little sprinkly fountain. And the police have one. The police have a little kind of sprinkly fountain, too, in front of their place. And, you know, when we have the water shortage, people complain about the fact that they thought that the fountain, you know, uses every time it just uses, there's a water input and then a drain, which is not, they recirculate so that, you know, they still need water because it evaporates, but they don't use a lot of water. And the one in front of the police, it should have bull mastiffs or something, you know, surrounding it. And be policey. Kind of a little wimpy fountain for the police department, but I guess it's pretty. I'm trying to help out the city, you know. I'm not sure how to design stuff, but then you look at the building, this catty corner from the police department. That's to me one of the neatest buildings in the city. And it's got that cascading water fountain down the front. It's totally cool when they're operating it. All right, let's move on, Bill. Enough of all that. Enough of the architectural stuff, because you know what you're talking about anyway. New York marketing maven to head the helm of the Paso Wine Board. You hear maven. What's her name? Martha Stewart is the most common maven that I know. You know, she. If there's anybody referred to as a maven, most often is her. But now here's this young lady named Jennifer Porter. Who's decided to become a maven, and she's going to run the Paso Wine Board. Most recently, Porter led the integrated marketing department for Viacom's Comedy Central television channel in New York, where she created marketing for shows such as The Colbert Report. Before that, she was the director of marketing and media for Sony Corporation of America, where she developed marketing programs for the Spider-Man and Bond movie franchises. She's a Pennsylvania native who lives in New York City for nearly two decades, says she's looking forward to life in California's wine country. Well, we're looking forward to having you here, by gosh, young lady. I notice we're not mentioning how much she's going to make. Okay, well, shouldn't be doing fine. Because, after all, I think if she was just a marketing expert and or a person with marketing experience, it would be one thing. But she is, in fact, a marketing maven. And I think that generates more income. It should, I mean, if you're going to be called a maven. Who wants to be called a maven? All right, other things that are going on here. Yeah, this is an interesting story out of L.A. A federal appeals court ruled Monday that police in Seattle and Maui used excessive force in separate cases involving the use of stun guns on women. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the wackiest circuit court in the nation, deliberating stun gun blasts would be violations of the women's constitutional rights as well as excessive because in neither case did the women pose any threat to the safety of the officers. The court granted immunity from the prosecution of the officers involving the case by the law governing stun gun use wasn't that clear at the time of the 2004 and 2006 incidents. Is it clear now when you use a stun gun? They used a stun gun on that poor guy they killed. that transient guy. And in the 2004 incident in Seattle, this lady who was 7 months pregnant was stopped for entering a 20-mile-per-hour school zone at 32. She refused to sign the traffic ticket to get out of the car when police threatened to arrest her. After a half-hour standoff, police fired 3 blasts of the taser to her thigh, neck, and arm. And that's okay. In 2006, this other lady summoned Maui police to her home, saying her husband was drunk and abusive. While the police officers arrived and one moved to arrest her husband, she stepped between them and asked everyone to calm down. One of the officers deployed a stun gun in dart mode, causing her to collapse to the floor. There's a very famous person who can tell you it really doesn't pay off in any way to say, can't we all just get along? That's not going to help. There's no sense in stepping in the middle of these things and saying, can we just all calm down here? I think that was back in not the infancy of stun guns, but that's when they were fairly new still. I think officers were just experimenting with it. It was a bad time to do something wrong. Other things that are going on. Other things that are happening. And in L.A., red-faced police officials worked Monday to downplay it, the theft of dozens of weapons from a SWAT training center, the 15 MP5 submachine guns and 15 Colt 45 caliber handguns had been adjusted to fire training manuals tipped with plastic instead of lead. Oh, training rounds, I got it. They had training rounds that had plastic. Police said it would require specialized parts that are not available to the general public to convert those back to regular weapons. Weapons were stolen early Thursday from an inconspicuous, rundown-looking ex-factory downtown about a mile from SWAT headquarters. SWAT members were scheduled to train at the facility that morning and arrived to find the building had been burglarized. So they fire plastic bullets. So they probably dress up as good guys, bad guys, and all that, and they shoot each other. It's my guess. Guess, isn't it? Those are called airsoft. No, is that what they're talking about? Is airsoft weapons? Probably. Not worth stealing. Well, I guess if you don't have the $15 to buy one. Okay. All right. Cost $15 or so. Okay. Other people and things in the news today and why they're there. Okay. This is the news you don't want to hear when you own one of these, okay? The National Transportation Safety Administration is looking at complaints of engine compartment fires that could affect 36,000 Mini Cooper S models from the 2007-8 model years. The Federal Safety Agency said in documents posted on its website it has received 12 complaints of fires. 5 of the blazes destroyed the cars. 8 fires happened when the engines have been shut off. No injuries have been reported. The fires could affect S models, the Mini Cooper, Cooper Clubman, and Cooper Convertible, and the little Cooper. And that's not a very big car. So if it starts to be engulfed in flames, engulf takes about 8 seconds. So you got to be really careful with that. It's not like you're working on a Humvee that could take 5 hours. California leads the way when it comes to solar jobs. We're trying to do our part here, are we not? With more than 25,000 people employed by manufacturers, installers, and other solar companies, Environmental California, using data from the nonprofit Solar Foundation of Washington, D.C., said California has 4 times as many solar jobs as its next closest competitor, Colorado. The state's 25,000 jobs represent 1/4 of all direct solar jobs in the U.S., the report added. Now you consider the number of people out of work. It's not huge, but it's a drop in the old proverbial bucket. That we have solar things going on. I had an article in here. This is I'm always finding this stuff fascinating in a way. I should have got to this earlier when we were doing the papilloma virus thing. I'm sorry, I forgot. Study outlines the harm done by annual mammograms. More than half of women who are screened annually for breast cancer will get a false positive result within 10 years of their first mammogram. A study that throws more fuel on the controversy over when and how often women should be tested. So I'm gonna proffer the same thought. How come our testing is not up to snuff? Why don't we have better tests? Do the people that make mammography machines, they have a lobby and whatnot? How's this work? Maybe there's a better mammography machine. When we get Dr. Fred in here, we're going to talk about it. See what he says. Because it's really kind of weird, in my opinion. All right, in my opinion. All right, this is kind of an interesting story, kind of sad. Children are forced to work in Afghanistan because, you know, things are, you can imagine you're in the middle of a war zone and you're trying to make a living. How are you do that? I don't know how you do that. But anyway, unfortunately, there is 1 gazillion children that are being forced to work.
Right, child labor. Well, currently 25% of kids, school-age children, are forced by war and economic difficulties to work. It's very difficult for the government to control these problems. The 3 decades of war and poverty has made it impossible for them to tackle these issues.
Mm. How many kids are we talking about, do you know?
Well, currently in Afghanistan, there are about 50 to 60,000 kids just in Kabul.
Right.
But 1.2 million, according to UNICEF.
Who are working?
Who are working in Afghanistan.
Really? In those sorts of conditions? Kids as young as?
As 5, 6 to 14, 15.
That is amazing. Now, you two guys met at university here, college, and then you went and did your filming there. I mean, what was it like for you, John, to get involved in this? You probably never imagined you were going to end up in Afghanistan shooting a documentary.
Most definitely, yeah, but a mutual professor introduced me to Jawad, and when I had the opportunity to hear the story he just told and his connection to these kids, it really motivated me to make the story.
You talked to a lot of child workers in Kabul, but you settled on 4 to focus on, which is a great way to do a doco like that. You wanted to find kids that were representative of the whole child labour issue.
Yeah.
And in fact, we do have a couple of video clips that the guys sent in on the children. I want viewers to meet someone called Fayez, that's right? Yeah, Fayez. He's been working in a blacksmith shop since he was 7 doing this kind of work. Just have a look at this.
All right, we can't obviously see it, so I'm just letting you know. He's banging away. He's 7 years old. He's banging away on an anvil with a piece of steel that they're going to make into a mini that will have problems with the engine fires. I guess I'm not going to do it. Anyhow, so that's what's going on with child labor around the world. There's one little peek into a disaster right there. All right, I got last thoughts today on Talk is Cheap, and where were they? I had last thoughts. No, I lost them. They were right in front of me. Here they are. All right, here's some last thoughts. BlackBerry tries to soothe angry customers because, you know, the BlackBerry thing went down, and so they're trying to make everybody happy. They're offering more than $100 worth of free software to each one and giving some a month of technical support as compensation for last week's massive outage. We're going to give you a month of free technical support, so when it craps out again, you can call us for free and say, how come my BlackBerry's not working? I think that's a very generous offer there. Somebody's lost their mind is what I think. Okay. And then you've probably heard this, because this is like one of those numbers you go to say, what? Apple's iPhone 4S sales topped 4 million the first 3 days. 4 million over the weekend, making it the fastest selling iPhone ever. The sales figure is the highest of any iPhone to date during that initial 3-day period, said Apple Corp., which announced the number Monday. And then, by the way, the 4S, I saw this vaguely somewhere, and I'm going to have to look it up and have it for you tomorrow. The 4S was not Steve Jobs' last project he was working on. He was working on something else. So apparently somebody has some idea what that is. I don't have it right now, but I just barely saw that someplace, and I'll get back beyond it, and we'll find out what the heck they're talking about. All right. Anybody else in there? Here's the thing about how to avoid Facebook traps, and basically what they're trying to say is don't put too much information out there on Facebook, which would make sense to me. You know, I am on Facebook, but I don't do much on Facebook. Maybe I'll start. I'm debating whether or not putting when I have guests. I'm going to put, you know, who's coming up as a guest for that day. And maybe that, but otherwise I don't really have much to do. I'm just there. I don't really get involved too much. So, but, you know, young people do. And a comment made last night by someone we're having dinner with was how how well young people, in her opinion, how well young people can grasp the ideas of this technology of today. Not just can they do it, but they can really utilize it, which is a good point. Lastly, the New York YouTube channel for Sesame Street came back online Monday after hackers forced its shutdown for a day by loading X-rated material to it. So mom and dad say, let's go look at YouTube, and the kids go, what the world is that? Hey, mom, hey, dad, I think you need your own rooms.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I need to have it. Don't worry. Be happy. So listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. But don't worry. Be happy. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. All right. That's it for today. We'll get together again. I got Clark Howard coming up. We'll get together again tomorrow on Talk is Cheap on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. Until then, may your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.